Welcome along to a delayed Drew Busney show on a beautiful April Tuesday. It's April the 23rd, the sun is shining, it's 70 degrees out, and we have a lot to get through today. We talk Celtics game one, we look ahead to game two, we look ahead to game three of the Bruins, and we talk about their goaltender dilemmas. All that next on the Drew Busney show. And welcome back to the show. Today, we are not in the radio. We are just on the podcast platforms. So let's get right into it. On Sunday afternoon, the Celtics, I wouldn't say it was a romp, but, you know, had a big win or a huge win against the Miami Heat. Albeit, the Celtics are the one seed and the Heat are the eight seed. But, you know, they're meeting four out of the last five times in the postseason. And the Heat seemingly always have, you know, the one seed's numbers. They beat out the Bucks in the first round just a year ago, then beat the Celtics, who were the two seed last year in the Eastern Conference Finals, to then eventually lose the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals. Now they're back, and, you know, they're without Jimmy Butler, and they're without Terry Rozier, and I guess that just means when you don't have your star players, you just play as dirty as you can play. There were many moving screens, mainly by Bam Adebayo, that could have destroyed the knees, the ACLs, the MCLs, the meniscus, the thighs, the groins of all the Celtics players. Then there was Caleb Martin, who just decided at the end of the game, after they were down 20 points with 60 seconds to go, that he would run into Jason Tatum, who was going up for a rebound. Jason Tatum would then fall on his head and on his spine, and thank God he avoided a massive injury. But yeah, I guess that's what you do when you're down, you know, 20 points with 60 seconds to go. You just run into the team's best player. Because that's how you win in a series when you don't have your star players. You play dirty. You play like a jerk. You're not nice to the other team. And yes, it's the playoffs, and it's supposed to be more physical. But that doesn't mean you try to intentionally hurt someone. And yes, it was the players that did all this, but players only do what they do because of the coach. And so Eric Spoelstra, I believe, no one can convince me otherwise that he is a dirty coach. The minute something does not go his way, he has an injury. For the one time ever, he has an injury in the playoffs. So we can't do the underdog story. You know, maybe he just tanks in the regular season so he seems cooler. Maybe he can get more money. Maybe he's not actually that good of a coach. Maybe he gets lucky. Who knows? I don't like him right now. He's a dirty coach. But as Brian Scalabrine said on the NBC Sports Boston Celtics postgame show, to call a timeout with 90 seconds to go and the game was over, to what? Maybe tell him to play dirty to injure the other team? That's absurd. That coach should be out of the league. Eric Spoelstra, they should take all this money he's earned from the NBA and they should put him in Cancun and lock him in a room. Because yes, you want to win, but winning at the expense of purposely injuring another team, especially the best player on another team, is no way to win. There will definitely be an asterisk next to the finals if that were to happen. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. I think the Celtics will get past the Heat in four, maybe five if just something doesn't go right. But the Heat are all bums. Jimmy Butler carries their whole team. He's not even that good. He can't really shoot. He's just a hustle player, and sometimes that wins games. You saw that in Marcus Smart a lot. It didn't really translate to a playoff wins, but you saw that a lot with Marcus Smart in the regular season. Jimmy Butler is kind of really a Marcus Smart, but he can be good in the playoffs. Marcus Smart was a total bum in the playoffs. You know, someone you could really never depend on. Turnovers, bad shots, just, you know, yes, he was the heart and soul of Boston, but he's not a playoff guy. He is a regular season guy. You can get the hype crowd when you're playing the Detroit Pistons and your record is 60-10, but he can't help you when it's meaningful and you're trying to win a championship. For game two, I mean, adjustments are inevitable. The Heat are going to come out. Maybe they'll play even dirtier. You know, maybe they'll swing some punches. Maybe a really physical game. Who will know? But this is a good chance for the Celtics to just, you know, add another one to the tally. You know, you're two done, 14 more to go at this point. Really not much to say other than that, you know, if the Celtics stick to their game and, you know, they can go between shooting threes and going to the basket, because one way or another, Heat are going to take something away from them. I felt like in game one, the Celtics were really heavily focused on the three-point shot. There was a time in the first quarter, I think it was around 2 minutes to go. They took about five threes in a row. Yes, they were wide open shots, but they missed them all. So just because they're wide open and, you know, you have the chance to take them and they're not falling, you kind of need to move on. And when they don't fall, you drive. And then you keep driving until those shots don't fall and you go back. But it didn't really feel like it was a balanced offense. It felt like it was, one-sided towards the three-pointers. So I just want to see you more balance. I want to see, you know, maybe one possession to drive, another one's a mid-range shot, a three-point, and then another three-point and a drive. Just, I don't want to see the same thing on every possession because the offense is stagnant, and then it's really easy for Miami to adjust. And if we get this rhythm where it's three-point after three-point, and then all of a sudden Miami pressure three-point, I feel like we could get flustered, and it would just be harder for us to react. I'm not saying we won't react, but the Heat could end up going on a run, and it could just affect the momentum, and who knows what can happen. Because you see, in playoffs, momentum is huge, and it can really, you know, alter the game's outcome. Other than that, in other playoff news, the Bruins, they lost the Maple Leafs as of this show. It was last night on Monday. They lost 3-2. A game winner about 6 minutes ago in the third period. And I don't think the story was the, you know, terrible offense from the Bruins, who we've seen throughout the whole year. They have a game where their offense is brilliant. You know, it's one of the best. The firepower, the shot power, the accuracy, everything based around shooting and scoring is great for the Bruins. You saw that a lot in game one when we beat them 5-1. And then you see the whole other side where our offense is really not good. We kind of get lucky goals, you know, we're more defensive focused, and we're really on our heels a lot. And you saw that a lot in game two. But I don't think that was the problem, because we were still in the game, even though it wasn't our best offensive game. The problem was Jim Montgomery. And he's made this mistake 2 years in a row. And just because you have two all-star caliber goalies does not mean two all-star caliber goalies have to play in the playoffs. You saw in game one, we went with Jeremy Swayman because his record in the regular season against the Toronto Maple Leafs was 3-0 with about one goal scored a game. So, based on the statistics and how he's played them throughout the year, you put Jeremy Swayman in. And he saved 30-plus shots, allowing one goal. One goal that I can say didn't really matter because the score was already 4-0 and it came late in the third period. And so, in what world would you ever want to get rid of Jeremy Swayman? He played out of his world. It was probably his first playoff game that he played well because he got introduced in the bubble when Tuukka left. And then he got shoved into game seven of the first round when they pulled Omark. So it was his first really playoff game where he could start, and it was his way. He wasn't thrown into the series midway. And so he had this stellar game, one of the best maybe I've seen out of goalies the past couple years. And then all of a sudden Jim Montgomery teases the media saying, "I don't know what we're going to do. Let's play Wordle." Make some Wordle joke. That was stupid. And then he puts in Omark. And Omark lets in three goals. Not saying that's the end of the world, but he lost the game. So I don't understand why you go from a goalie who let in one goal and your team won by a lot. All of a sudden you transition. You're like, that's not the way we want to play. We don't want to win by four goals. We don't want to win 5-1. We don't want our goalie to save 35 odd shots or whatever it was. No, we want to switch to another goalie who really hasn't really played this team before and, you know, followed up his career best year with a mediocre year, maybe a little above mediocre. That's what we want to do as a playoff hockey team. That's what we want to do. Yeah. Why? Why was Jeremy Swayman not the goalie in game two? From a public and from a fan's point of view, it was the most obvious decision in the world. And it was crazy that it did not happen. Moving on, I'm happy to now say there's a brand new segment on the Drew Busney Show. I am going to be joined in just a little bit by my two friends. They're going to talk about the NFL draft, the Patriots, the Jets. I will warn you now. So stop now. There is a couple explicit words. So if you don't want to listen to that, thank you very much for listening today. If not, thank you for listening to this new segment. Hopefully it comes back. Enjoy it. I'm glad to be here with football experts Will and Max. Talk a little about the upcoming draft. Just in a couple of days, we have a Patriots fan and a Jets fan. So I'm going to start with Will. Will, third pick for the Patriots, you know, what do you expect? What do you want them to do?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big deal. Number three pick, arguably biggest draft pick this franchise has had in maybe the last three decades. So it's a pretty big deal. Personally, I want Drake May. I want Drake May. I want a quarterback. I would be fine with Jaden Daniels if Drake May gets taken by the Commanders at two.
What about J.J. McCarthy? Because the last day, it was all Patriots want J.J. McCarthy. They're going to trade back.
I want J.J. McCarthy at three. Really. I think if Drake May goes at two, you trade the number three pick to maybe the Vikings, get 11 and 23. And I personally, if you trade down, you don't take JJ McCarthy. You take a tackle and then a receiver at 23.
You know, I would agree with that. But, like, what about the risk? There's the Giants before that. Yeah. They could take take Jaden Daniels.
Someone was saying,
I said I don't want a quarterback at 11. I want a tackle.
But so you would want a quarterback in, like, 23?
Maybe late rounds.
Like Bo Nix?
Like a Spencer Rattler.
Really?
Type of guy. Developmental.
He's not. He's overhyped. He was on that Netflix show.
I'm not looking for my franchise quarterback in the 6th or 7th round. I just want somebody who maybe could be something.
Wait, but so do you want to draft a quarterback next year?
Yes, okay. I want to draft a quarterback this coming draft.
Arch Manning?
I feel like this is just such a loaded quarterback draft.
Yeah.
The Patriots need a quarterback. Yeah. Their best...
Jacoby Brissett is
the best quarterback in the quarterback room. I think I would agree with you. If Drake May gets picked, I would trade down the pick personally. But
why not?
My hope as a fan of the Jets,
I have some passing concerns with Jaden Daniels.
I think the new era is an athletic quarterback. Lamar Jackson
has a much better arm than Jaden Daniels.
I think Jaden Daniels'
arm is low key comparable to Mac Jones' arm.
I think he throws to the sideline more.
Yeah,
I think he would work really well in the Broncos offense. That's who I would want to take Jaden Daniels.
I think he is going to work really well in the Commanders offense.
Are you opposed to
Drew Brees
Harris
didn't have the best arm in the world.
It's just no value in
it. No wide receiver at 3. So does our first pick, if it's at 3, 10, 11, does it have to be a quarterback?
If our first pick is at number 3, it has to be a quarterback, in my opinion.
And does he play the first year? Or does Jacoby Brissett play?
Depends on the quarterback. Drake May, you see how he is. You definitely don't start in game 1. You see, maybe if he can come in halfway through the year. If not, you just sit him for his first year, dude.
I agree with that. I think Drake May does remind me a little of Zach Wilson, just with his talent.
He's a lot better.
But Zach Wilson was one of the most talented players coming out of the draft.
Zach Wilson is the biggest bust of all time.
He's terrible, but he was extremely talented. And one of the issues that Robert Saleh talked about is that they shouldn't have started him his first year.
Exactly.
And that they should have given him a year to
Did you make that mistake with Mac Jones?
No, Mac Jones was just...
He was bad to begin with.
We didn't put any weapons around him.
That's the other thing.
He could have been maybe a top 15 quarterback max. We didn't put any weapons around him. I heard an analyst today compare this quarterback class to the Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson quarterback class. He said this one is noticeably better.
Yeah.
He said besides Trevor Lawrence, who maybe would have gone before Caleb Williams, although it's close... Drake May and Jaden Daniels would have been the next two.
But if you look at the 2021 class, 5 of the 6 are not on the teams that drafted them.
And even Trevor Lawrence is not nearly as good as he.
That's why I'm worried. This one's overhyped. Maybe they're not all that good. Maybe the only good one's Caleb Williams.
Caleb
Williams overhyped.
I do really like Caleb Williams.
I personally think Caleb Williams is a bust.
I think he will be a serviceable quarterback in the league. I don't think he's going to be Patrick Mahomes like people think.
No, he's going to be very good. He's going to be very good. I mean, you just turn on a highlight reel from that dude. Like, there's
could say the same thing about Trevor Lawrence. I think if you draft quarterbacks to bad quarterback teams,
not just like that he can do cool, like just like the level of
his
improvisation in his play is crazy.
Also,
he'll be off his back foot and just fucking beam a dude in the chest.
The Bears aren't the worst team. They only had the first pick because the Panthers. Like I honestly think
the Bears could make a deep playoff push this year.
Like
if Caleb Williams does well, but the Bears just have a history
of messing up quarterbacks,
destroying quarterbacks.
But I feel like there's so much hype around Caleb Williams that they're like everything's gonna be what he wants. Like there literally is like his servants.
True. For his interview, they didn't fly out the coaches. They flew out his teammates. They flew the DJ Moore and a bunch of receivers interview him. I think quarterback at 3. I think Drake May is going to be a good quarterback.
He's a raw talent, and that's good.
Exactly. That's why I don't think he would be as good on the Patriots, because the Patriots can't surround him with good players.
We don't have to start him this year.
Yeah. And plus,
from no weapons to a bunch of weapons.
Well,
in 1 year.
I mean, we have... guys that are developing, we have. If you are bad again this year, you have a high draft picks next year.
Plus,
reload on weapons in the draft and free agency.
Offensive talent and all our new offensive coaches are quarterback based. They all grew up, wanting to make the quarterbacks better. They worked with Aaron Rodgers, I think, because they all come from the Packers system and the Browns system. They work with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, right.
They work I'm not as in tune with the Patriots as I would be.
Yeah.
Let's
talk about the Jets. Talk about the Jets as a Jets fan.
Well, we just traded Zach Wilson, which I am a little sad about. I think it was the best move for the team, get some value out of him. I don't think we were going to re-sign him next year, but he's just such a talented individual. I think he had so much potential, and it was just ruined by some bad coaching. He got into the league too early.
Poverty franchise.
I don't know about that. We're going to turn around. But at the 10th pick, I've heard a lot of people talking about us grabbing a tackle. I don't want us to grab a tackle. I think
you can't have Aaron Rodgers tearing his Achilles again.
We can't have that. But, I mean, we got Morgan Moses. We got Tyron Smith. Very injury-prone tackles.
Yeah.
They are probably going to get injured during the season. But if we have them for the playoffs, that's all we need. And if we can keep Aaron Rodgers and Mike Williams for a whole season, we're making the playoffs. I want them to draft. My dream draft would be Brock Bowers. That he's such a talented tight end. He can do anything on the field. He reminds me of Travis Kelce, but better. And if Brock Bowers was taken before, then I would want Roma Dunze. I want another offensive weapon. I think we've done enough with this defense. We already have a defensive coach.
As a Patriots fan, I would say I would at least want you to get Brock Bowers, which really means that's probably who you should get. But I really think you guys need a high-end tackle.
I think we can get a tackle later. I feel like this is such a deep tackle class.
Yes,
I think
talk about tackles in the draft, it's such a valuable position that when you're talking about a deep tackle class, you're talking about a lot of guys that are really good that are going to go in round one. Like, there's probably 10... There could be 10 tackles that could go in round one. Below that, you have a bunch of guys that are developmental, and they'll be pretty good, but...
But exactly. They're not going to start on the Jets. We have two starting tackles.
You need another starting tackle, because those guys are not going to be healthy.
But I don't need them to be healthy for the entire season. We have other guys that can move to tackle. They did it last year. They weren't as good, but they were able to do it.
The worst tackle play in the league last year.
We had the worst offensive line play, but that was also because we had, a new offensive line every game. That's just been our thing for years.
To be honest, I just think you need a new coach. I think that guy's...
I think he's my favorite coach the Jets have had since Rex Ryan. I think...
I don't know the Jets coaches.
All right, wait. But... You mentioned playoffs. Let's talk about AFC East.
Yeah.
Because I think Bills, last place.
I disagree.
I think it was Dolphins, Jets, Patriots, Bills. I just think the Bills...
I very much disagree with that.
Yeah, I disagree. I think it's going to be...
Say it. Come
Dolphins.
On. Get it out.
Maybe, Dolphins.
Maybe get it out.
Jets
Dolphins.
First.
There no. we go.
I
there
think
we go.
Patriots second. Dolphins
no.
third. No.
Okay.
Bills third. Patriots are.
How many wins
know.
Do you think the Patriots are going to get?
Six.
No,
how would
I
they
think,
be?
I think maybe, six to eight.
I think that.
I think
six
Bills
wins is their max
good.
With Jacoby Brissett
as right.
their
We're going to have such a worse schedule. We're the worst team in the league. We're going to play all the bad teams.
That's
again.
Not how. Isn't that
yeah.
not?
Well, most. Some of our.
We've had one of the worst schedules for, the past, 6 years.
Yeah, because you've been the worst
suck.
Team for the past 6 years.
Exactly.
Exactly, that's my point.
Okay. But
no, it's...
My prediction
it's Dolphins,
would be
Jets, Patriots, Bills.
Why
no.
are you so high on the Dolphins, dude?
The Dolphins have...
It's just the Dolphins are only going to get better.
But Tua is not a good
sucks.
Quarterback. They're going to... I think that this is their
Tyrese
last
getting
year.
Older.
I think this is their last year to
do really
well.
Think the Jets
because
are
going to have to pay
so
Tua.
Pieces on
I don't
defense.
Think the Bills are going
to
win the
I think it goes Jets, Bills,
Bills
Dolphins,
are still
Patriots.
Be good. They're going to draft a wide receiver
what did you,
in the
wait,
first
what did you
round.
Say?
Jets,
be
Bills,
good.
Dolphins, Patriots. I think the Patriots, probably five wins. You guys don't have anything on offense.
I think the Jets, nine wins.
Before the draft, you guys don't have anything on offense. You could say, Kendrick Bourne.
We have Pop.
One decent receiver.
We have Pop Douglas. We have... Hunter Henry is a good tight end.
You have decent tight ends, a
Re-signed
decent wide receiver,
and
nothing
and
else.
Ramondre Stevenson is a good running back. He was injured
He's
all of last
decent.
Season. He's good. He had 600 receiving yards and 1,200 rushing yards 2 years ago. He's a very good running back. He's a good running back.
I don't
back.
Know, man.
What
he
about this?
A three down back.
Early pre-draft Super Bowl picks?
Jets.
Of course. I think,
it's the New
I
York
think,
Jets, bro. This is our year.
I think Texans are my AFC team right now. They're going to be so
With their new
good.
Jerseys.
They're
going
to
so
be
cool.
so fun to watch.
I think
year.
That the Bears could honestly make the Super Bowl.
I said Bears, Texans, but I think that would be so unlikely.
I don't think the Texans. I think Stephon Diggs is overrated.
Not,
but
think,
they don't need. They had a good wide receiver core
exactly,
this year without
but Stephon Diggs is a little baby, and he just wants the ball all the time. The Bills. The reason he wanted off the Bills is because the Bills changed their offense. I'm blanking on the name, but to be more focused around their running back instead of Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And Cook, he was. Yeah. And they actually, yeah, James Cook, and they actually started winning games more. They were like on pace to miss the playoffs, and they won out because they switched the offense away from being focused around Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
I think that the Bills could honestly maybe get a little better with the Stephon Diggs. The rest of the roster got worse too, but I think Diggs is just is like.
But I think when you're in the if you bring him into the Texans, I think the Texans are looking at this as Nico Collins is your wide receiver one, Stephon Diggs is your wide receiver two, I think you make that clear to him from day one.
That could be why they restructured his contract to be only 1 year.
And Tank Dell is still very good. You have Dalton Schultz. He's a dog. They've had a good offensive line, and that defense is young. They got Danielle Hunter. They've got
it's a good team. I think the Jets are better at almost every letter. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a comeback season.
CJ Stroud is going to be a better quarterback than
Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers Achilles on the first play of the year.
If that happens, no.
Running back, they're definitely better.
Breece Hall genuinely has had some of the best seasons with one of the worst offensive lines in the league. With an actual offense. That's not true. In his rookie year,
wide
he tore
receivers,
his...
they're definitely better. Tight end, they're
Are
definitely
Are you kidding
better.
Me? Garrett Wilson? Mike Williams? Garrett Wilson is better than Nico Collins. I don't care what you say. Garrett Wilson is an all-around talent. He didn't have a quarterback. He had Zach Wilson and fucking
if you, I'm
Todd
talking about
Boyle.
Total receiving core. Texans are better.
I disagree. I think after the draft, especially, I disagree. I think we're going
to take an tackle round one, so...
If we take a tackle
round, even if you get a
I'll
third receiver, you are not better than Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, Tank Dell, and...
Not if we get Brock Bowers. Garrett Wilson is the best wide receiver out of every single player you listed. Mike Williams complements him perfectly so that Garrett Wilson will have a breakout season because he won't be getting doubled every single play because the second best
receivers.
No, Garrett Wilson can do anything. If you watch Garrett Wilson play, he's a route runner. He can moss people. Yeah. He can make great catches. He can do end arounds.
Yeah.
But he last year, his second best wide receiver, I don't know, Alan Lazard?
My problem with the Jets right now is I heard all of this last year. And it's not a,
and we lost Aaron Rodgers,
a significantly
week one.
Better team than it
it's
was
better
last
O-line.
Year.
We got another wide receiver.
Two old tackles. An old wide receiver that's been injury prone.
It depends on injuries. If we are able to stay relatively healthy, I think that they're winning.
But I think the darkness that's sitting over the Jets right now is I don't think even if you had Aaron Rodgers last year, you would have been that good.
But that's – we beat the Bills with Zach Wilson.
I know.
It was just hype.
I know.
It was all hype with Aaron Rodgers.
But that's not – I disagree.
I think he would have been that much better.
I think
he wouldn't have been able to get the ball off. Your O-line was so bad. And you didn't have that many offensive weapons.
It was a
weapons.
Blessing in disguise.
He would have just been sniping Garrett Wilson on
I think
every
it might
play.
The only reason it was a blessing in disguise is because now we get a first round pick instead of
what
giving
was your
our
record?
First round
what was your
game.
Record last year?
6-10, 7-9.
Yeah, I think
you
maybe would have won 8 games with Aaron Rodgers.
I think we would have made the playoffs. We had one of the hardest schedules, and the
would
team
you
was.
Beat
so,
out, Bills?
Aaron Rodgers is in love with football
maybe,
again.
Maybe.
We have not seen Aaron Rodgers even like football. In years, and he's won the MVP. He won the MVP 3 years ago.
That's just talk.
The entire
and when was the last time he made it back to a Super Bowl?
The entire team was all in on Aaron Rodgers. Everybody loved Aaron Rodgers, and when Aaron Rodgers went out, they still had a bit of that love and like hype for the first game, but they lost it, and the season went downhill from there because Zach Wilson was the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And then, I mean, outside of that, Chiefs are probably gonna fucking win.
That's
back
true,
to back
but
back
I think.
Super Bowls.
Someone just got to tear Patrick Mahomes' ACL. Or
from
something.
The NFC, I'm pretty high on the Rams. I think the Rams are going to be good next year. I think I think Eagles are going to be good again next year.
I did get Saquon.
We haven't even talked about the fucking Ravens.
Yeah,
dude.
Derrick
Holy
Henry.
Shit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The AFC is stacked this year.
Yeah, it's going to be
which
really
is scary,
good.
But I feel like it's just this is the Jets' year.
Yeah.
And that's I might have said that last year, but that was before I knew – Aaron Rodgers was gone first play.
All right, well, I want to thank Will and Max for coming. You know, draft is this week, so hopefully they're back next week. They'll give the reactions. Thank you guys very much.
Thank
you,
Drew.
Have a good rest of your day.
See you, Drew.
Bye.